Alleluia, 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 alleluia. One does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Señor esté con ustedes. Título del Santo Evangelio según San Juan. Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee, and a large crowd followed him because they saw the signs that he was performing on the sick. So Jesus went up the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Jewish feast of the Passover was near, so when Jesus raised his eyes and saw that a large crowd was coming to him, he said to Philip, "Where can we buy enough food for them to eat?" And he said this to test him, because he knew himself what he was about to do. So Philip answered him, 200 days' wages worth of food would not be enough for each of them to have but a little. And one of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what good are they for so many?" So Jesus said, "Have the people recline." Now there was a great deal of grass in that place, so the men reclined, about 5,000 in number. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed them to those who were reclining, and also as much of the fish as they wanted. And when they had had their fill, he said to his disciples, "Gather the fragments left over, so that nothing will be wasted." So they collected them, and they filled 12 wicker baskets with the fragments from the 5 barley loaves that had been more than they could eat. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This truly is the prophet, the one who has come into the world." Since Jesus knew that they were going to come and carry him off to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain alone. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you. El rabino Gamaliel, generalmente considerado como uno de los hombres más sabios y mejores que jamás haya producido en todo el judaísmo, aparece aquí en la lectura de hoy de los Hechos de los Apóstoles, pero también es un personaje muy importante y una fuente de gran parte de la literatura judía del primer siglo. Se le consideraba tan importante que tanto judíos como cristianos desearon historias posteriores sobre él. Los primeros cristianos insistieron en que, al igual que Nicodemo y José de Arimatea, Gamaliel finalmente se convirtió a la fe cristiana. Pero una diferencia muy importante de los otros dos, que también formaban parte del Sanhedrin, Gamaliel mantuvo su conversión en secreto para seguir influyendo en la comunidad judía en favor de los cristianos. A los judíos contemporáneos, comprensiblemente, no les gusta esto. No hay ningún registro oficial de su martirio, lo que esperamos si una figura tan significativa hubiera sido asesinada por la fe. Y las obras que sabemos que escribió sugieren que mantuvo la ley de los judíos hasta su muerte, que sería lo contrario de lo que Pedro y Pablo finalmente ordenan para la iglesia. Ya sea que se haya convertido al cristianismo antes de su muerte o no, Gamaliel tiene fácilmente el consejo más sabio sobre el discernimiento en toda la Santa Biblia. "Yo les aconsejo que no se metan con esos hombres. Suéltenlos, porque si lo que se propone y están haciendo es de origen humano, se acabará por sí mismo. Pero si es cosa de Dios, no podrán ustedes deshacerlo. No se expongan a luchar contra Dios." Al acercarnos a nuestro altar esta noche, debemos examinarnos cuidadosamente. Somos demasiado rápidos para opernos a lo que no entendemos. Estamos convencidos de que algo es o no es de Dios sin antes que nosotros. Y quizás lo más importante, confiamos en Dios lo suficiente como para verles cosas muy bien, incluso si a veces tomamos decisiones equivocadas. So this character of Gamaliel is widely considered, both by Christians and by Jews, and even secular scholars, like probably the smartest Jewish guy running around at the time of Jesus, right? He's credited in the Acts of the Apostles and in Paul's letters as Paul's teacher. So he's Paul's law professor, I guess you could say, his mentor in important ways. And he's also the one who, on behalf of Peter and the rest who are imprisoned here for having taught about Jesus, who gives probably the best advice about discernment in the whole of the Bible. Leave these men alone, he says, because if you push against them and what they're doing is of themselves, it's going to burn out on its own. But if you push against them and what they're doing is from God, then you will find yourself doing battle with God himself. He was considered so important that both the Jews and the early Christians came up with two different endings to his story. So the early Christians insisted that Gamaliel actually converted to the faith, and that he kept his position on the Sanhedrin, unlike St. Nicodemus and St. Joseph of Arimathea, who both sort of outed themselves as Christians in the first years following the Pentecost and ultimately had to leave Jerusalem in order to mission in other lands. But that Gamaliel stayed, he kept his conversion secret, and he kept his position on the Sanhedrin in order to continue to influence the Jewish authorities in favor of the Christians. Understandably, Jews don't like that story. And it is a little bit weird that if such a thing happened, that we have no record of his death. He appears to have just died like a normal Jew at the time. He wasn't martyred or persecuted or anything, which we would expect there would be a lot more furor over if anybody ever found out that like the most important Jew running around had become a Christian. But whether Gamaliel became a Christian or not is not especially important for us. What is important is that wisdom that he spoke to the Sanhedrin in favor of the disciples. Am I too quick to judge? This is definitely not from God, but this absolutely is. Am I too ready to trust my own assessments and making sure that people know that I'm one of the guys in the know and that my decisions or my ideas are the best? Am I simply too fast to render a rash judgment? And have I unwittingly set myself against God in so doing? As we approach the altar tonight, those are the kinds of questions we need to ask ourselves. Because it was, of course, here at the altar that those early Christians encountered the Lord Jesus most profoundly. It would have been easy for people to push back and say, this can't be from God. You've taken this old ritual and made it into something new. But it wasn't. This was the way he chose to make himself present to us. And so here tonight, we make ourselves present to him so that we might recognize him when we encounter him out there in the world.